32, which is our text this morning. You can find that on page 467 in your provided Bibles if you are following along there. Let us now hear God's holy and infallible word, which stands forever. A Maskil of David. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, Selah, therefore let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and righteous, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. So far our reading in God's holy word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, that word blessed is quite a loaded word for us in this community, isn't it? It's a word we find spread throughout the Bible. In the Beatitudes, Jesus proclaims the poor in spirit, the mourners, the meek, the hungry and thirsty for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted because of Christ are all called blessed. And as we just sung, even the book of Psalms opens with a description of the blessed man. That description is a tree planted by the riverside. A tree planted by waters whose fruit grows. Now you and I, when we imagine that picture, you become at peace. You become happy. If you think about sitting in the shade of the tree by the riverside, you can easily imagine a contentment and a peace and a happiness. The word blessed can simply mean happy. It could be just translated happiness, but it has more of a meaning than that. Because that happiness comes from a nourishment, a good state of being, an emotional state of being. That you are happy because of the blessings and nourishment that you receive. It is more than just a pasted-on smile, or even a smile in and itself. But instead it is fruitful and life and peaceful. Blessedness is more than just regular happiness, but it's a good state of being as an entire person. So how can we become that sort of happy? It is a desired treasure for many, but yet few seem to find it. And Psalm 1 tells us that the one who is happy meditates on God's law day and night. He obeys God's law rather than obeying the counsel of the wicked. And Psalm 119 starts off by saying, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." It is in the righteousness of God that we can be blessed, that we can flourish and be fruitful. We can have meaning in our lives. We can only be blessed when we are righteous before God. And in that way, we can be significant and fruitful. We can only find true happiness and peaceful rest when we are righteous before God. So, where does that leave us? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All of us stand condemned. None of us deserve deserve happiness and blessed life. Yet Psalm 32 talks about a blessed man. A blessed man who has found forgiveness in God. He is considered righteous before God. And David, the writer of the psalm, recognizes the forgiveness of God and the blessing of confession. That is our theme this morning. A blessed man confesses his sin and finds forgiveness in Christ. Once again, a blessed man confesses his sin and finds forgiveness in Christ. And we will look at this psalm in 3 points. First of all, we will look at David's deception. David is giving us a personal experience here, and many seem to believe that this is a psalm following Psalm 51. He is rejoicing in his position of finding forgiveness. Secondly, we will look at the path of forgiveness that David has walked. And thirdly, we will look at the invitation and the warning that David gives. And I will repeat that because it is different from my original outline that was handed out. We're looking at the third one as invitation and warning. So in the first two verses, David lays out a blessed man. At the end of verse 2, he tells us that a happy man or a blessed man has a spirit of no deceit. And David goes into the ways which he has sought to be deceitful about his sin. And he describes his sin in 3 different ways, using 3 different terms. And throughout this psalm, you will see 3s again. 3 terms for sin, 3 terms for confession, 3 terms for forgiveness. But he starts off describing his sin in 3 different ways. He piles these synonyms on top of each other. These words that are very similar but expand in meaning and gives you another nuance or difference to the understanding of sin. That first term we translate as transgression. It is a term in which we understand it is a direct act of rebellion against God. It is treachery against the king. And so David says, "I have rebelled. I have acted treacherously against the king. I have turned against him purposefully." Then he goes on to translate to another word in which is translated sin. This has to do with missing the mark. It originally was a word which was used for archery, meaning you missed where you were aiming. You didn't hit the spot that you needed to go. And this aspect of sin recognizes that it's not only us breaking God's law and acting treacherously, but not doing what God has commanded, not reaching the mark in which we are called to do. So when we are called not to commit adultery, we are also called to love our wife by that very same commandment. It's not just that you don't cheat on your wife. Finally, the word that he uses, another word that he uses, is iniquity. This is a word which talks about the twisting and perverting of a good thing and the guilt that's incurred from it. The Pharisees would twist and pervert God's law for their own benefit. They would declare something for God, yet they would do that so they could use it, yet leaving their parents in a state of poverty. They would twist God's word for their own benefit. So David describes his sin in these ways. But he says that I have been deceitful about it. I've been deceptive. I was trying to hide my sin. He was silent about it. In verse 3, for when I kept silent, this means he was not acknowledging his sin. He was not willing to say, this is my own. Secondly, we see in verse 5, he says, and I did not cover my iniquity when he confesses. Meaning that before, he was covering his own sin. He was trying to hide it away from God by his own means and his own measures. Just as Adam and Eve sought to conceal themselves and their sin in the garden by hiding from God. They tried to hide their shame and their guilt by covering their bodies with fig leaves. They tried to hide from the one whom they have disobeyed. They tried to hide because they know that they were guilty. They had broken his commandments. And David says, I was deceitful about my sin. I tried to cover it by my own means. This is the path in which he walked. He did everything he could do to try to ignore his sin, to cover it up. People of God, how do you try to deceive God and yourselves about your sin? Do you try to minimize it by comparing to others? Saying, well, Jeannie over there, she's much worse than I am. In the shadow of her sin, you can barely even see mine. It's no big deal. Or maybe we try to camouflage it. Well, everybody else is doing it. Why is mine so bad? Doesn't really matter, does it? Or maybe we even make light of it, joke about it. Oh, you sinner. It's not so big of a deal, in a sarcastic tone. These are all ways in which we can be deceitful about our sin. We don't acknowledge the gravity of it and what it results in. Because David begins to feel a small measure of what his sin deserves. He begins to feel those consequences of sin. He feels the need for forgiveness as God's hand is heavy upon him. He feels the anguish of his sins, and he says in verses 3 and 4, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as the heat of summer." This is exact opposite of that blessed man in chapter 1 or Psalm 1. This is the picture of a wicked man who is like chaff, who is withering. The life juices are being sapped from David. And he recognizes the consequences of his sin. He feels the anguish in his bones. Sin must be dealt with. And David continues his personal experience. And he shows us his path as he walked and found the blessed forgiveness, which is our second point. And so he says in verse 5, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin." As I said before, there are three words for sin and three words for confession. And first of all, David says he acknowledges it. He finally says, I own this sin. It is mine. It is my fault. It is I who committed it. He declares where he had not hit the mark. Secondly, he uncovers it and exposes it, lays it bare before the Lord that he is guilty. Stops trying to hide it by his own means. And thirdly, he recognizes and confesses, speaks it out loud to God. This is all an act of faith. He does this out of faith, turning to God, because he knows that God is a God who forgives. He knows that God will accept him, not on his own merits, but he is a God who forgives. And again, there are three words that describe forgiveness, each with their own unique image and understanding of how far forgiveness goes. That word forgiveness, or word that's translated forgiveness, has the meaning of carrying away, to take away something from another. Psalm 103 says that God has removed or carried away as far as the east is from the west our sin. It is so far removed from us. There is no longer a remembrance of our transgressions. Verse 1 also says, "Blessed the man whose sin is covered." This is the language of atonement. The Day of Atonement was the day in which Israel would go and they would sacrifice a lamb and spread the blood on the people. And this was to cover their sins. It covered and made them righteous before God. This blood was never sufficient, though, since a spotless lamb had to be sacrificed year after year. But John the Baptist calls Jesus the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is because it was His blood that covers the people that makes us right before God, gives us forgiveness of sins that are completely and wholly covered. Notice the stark contrast. On the one hand, David previously was trying to cover his sin in any way possible, but it never accomplished its task. But when it comes to the blood of Christ, it is completely covered. It is completely forgiven. It is no longer held against them, which is the third way in which David describes forgiveness. The Lord does not count his sin or iniquity against him. I don't know how many of you know what a rap sheet is. In America, they would talk about a rap sheet as those who have committed a crime. And these are all the crimes that this person has committed, whether he's gone to jail for them or not. It is a record of their wrongs. It is a record of their sins, and it follows them around, no matter what. But with God, our rap sheet is cleared. All our sins are covered, taken away. And so when we come in faith and a recognition of our sins, we are trusting in a God who is able to deliver us and who does so willingly. He is a God who does not merely wink at sin. He does not just brush it under the rug. But He pours out His wrath on His only begotten Son for our sakes, that we might receive forgiveness, that we might be considered righteous. As Romans pointed out, by faith in Jesus Christ, we become righteous before God. And that's what David recognizes as he knows that he can find a hiding place in God. He says in verse 6, "Surely the rush of great waters, they shall not reach the one who confesses his sin and finds righteousness in God." What is meant there is that God hides them away. Water was often used as an instrument of judgment against the wicked in the Old Testament. God wiped away the sin of the earth and cleansed it and brought down judgment upon the people in the flood in Noah's day. Then He brings down judgment against the Egyptians as they chase after His chosen people by drowning them in the Red Sea. Ezekiel talks about destroying Tyre with many waters in judgment. And Psalm 90 confesses, "You sweep them away with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh." Water is used as judgment. But David confesses and says, those who recognize their sin and turn to God in faith and repentance are hidden away, where the waters of the flood cannot reach them. But David has found this forgiveness and protection in God. All that he should suffer is taken away. And David recognizes the blessing of being forgiven. He is truly happy because God has rescued him and has not held David's sin against him. And he is in a right relationship with God. He recognizes this joy and this blessing. And so he gives an invitation and a warning, which is our final point. David did not want to be the only one to experience this blessing. And so he says, "Therefore, everyone who is godly, offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found." He wants others to see the wisdom in his experience. David wants others to understand how they can find well-being and salvation in God. How about you? Do you recognize your sin before God? Have you examined yourself in light of God's law? Hear John's message as he prepares the way for Jesus. Repent and believe. Unless you repent, you will perish. And Peter tells those at the temple, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Confess your sin and turn to Him in faith. For God already knows your sin, and you cannot hide it. Repentance is a fruit of that forgiveness. Recognizing that God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ, and you have no reason to fear. You do not need to be afraid to expose your sin before God. So in faith, own up to it. Recognize it. Confess it before the Lord. For it is an act of faith. And verse 10 tells us that the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. When you believe in Him, He surrounds you, protects you, keeps you in His hands. David calls the godly to confession and faith, but he also warns the stubborn. And he says in verses 8 and 9, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. David uses these images of the animal to say, they just constantly veer off trying to go their own way. But don't be like them. Don't be stubborn against what God has called you to do. Understand that happiness is found in the forgiveness of God. And forgiveness comes to those who go before Him confessing and trusting in Him. Because the wicked will continue to experience woes. But God's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in Him. And here is the rock bed of why we are blessed people. Because we are forgiven in Jesus Christ. And that's why David's final invitation calls us in verse 11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you upright in heart. He does this because it is the proper response to His forgiveness. Amen. We are now going to turn and sing to Him and give praise by singing the word.